Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to another fine episode of a Colts podcast brought to you by Sports Illustrated and A Horseshoe Huddle. My name's Brandon. I'm joined by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. How you doing, sir? Pretty bland week in regards to news, but here we are. Having another good day, ready to rock.
Not much in regards to news, but I would say in regards to what the Colts brass said this week, it kind of raised some eyebrows. Some people were a little upset about it. Some people, it just confirmed what they had been thinking all along. So I'm doing great, man. We're starting to transition from free agency into draft season, and doing good. Things are starting to slow down for me on the writing side of things, at least for now. So that's always been good. How's your week been?
Not too bad. Rough day yesterday afternoon out of nowhere. Don't have any words to explain that. Don't want to explain that. But hey, everybody, listen. Go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Where you get all your probably already broken news, some pictures of us, and it's a good time. We interact with our fans. But also, this just in, go check out the Indy Draft Guide. The link is going to be in the bio. The link's going to be on all of our things. Put together by Andrew Moore, Josh Carney, Zach Hicks, and
Jake Arthur.
Use the promo code DRAFT to save $1. Goes from $7.99 to $6.99.
Now it goes from $9.99 to $8.99.
You save a dollar. Hey, a dollar's a dollar, buck's a buck. So go check that out. Basically, it's Dane Brugler's draft guide, but for the Colts.
But better. Specifically.
Better. Yeah, because it's for the Colts. It's better because it's for the Colts. And also, of course, the talented writers, Andrew Moore, and Jake Arthur, and Josh Carney put it together. And then also Zach Hicks. So
it's a great draft guide. We've been working on it, and it drops on April 11th. So make sure you get your pre-order in. It's what we're going to be using on the show as we get into our draft episodes and everything. So it'll show how the players fit with the Colts, their player comps, how likely the Colts are to draft these guys. It's a lot of information in there if you're a Colts fan. So you'll definitely want to get that throughout draft season.
Absolutely. And Andrew, listen, I know we're a Colts podcast, but one and a half of us, is a real big combat sports fan as well. Mostly UFC, but this week, I'd be hard pressed to avoid, talking about the massive fight that went down at the Oscars Monday night. Will Smith just blasted Chris Rock in the face. Amazing. Absolutely amazing, that whole situation. I'm not on anybody's side. I 100% believe it was real. I'm on Chris Rock's side. I think Will Smith's a little bit of a bitch for going up there and pulling that, but absolutely incredible. I missed it. I was watching the Oscars. Went to bed. Missed the biggest moment. Okay. Woke up the next morning and the jokes were already there. The internet doesn't waste a breath. So what did you think about that whole situation?
I mean, I really didn't watch it. I saw it blow up on Twitter, and I saw that it was the memes created from it. Absolutely incredible. You've been sending them to me all week. I've been seeing more and more throughout the week, and absolutely incredible. I mean, I don't really have a side. I don't really follow that stuff. I just thought it was pretty funny to see what all went down.
I mean, unbelievable. For a man to get up and smack a comedian for making a joke. I mean, by the way, why do you open the hand? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do something, punch the guy, you know, but anyway, all right, let's dig in. Colts, speak at the NFL owners meetings. We got Frank. We got Chris. Got Mr. Irsay, Jimmy with the Colts.
We got Jimmy from the Colts.
So I don't know. I feel like you, analyst Andrew, has a lot to say about this. from Frank and honestly, Jim, for the most part, I just felt like, you know, these were normal conversations. I didn't have a chance to look into the Ballard chat since his was not put on video. Something I want to look into, but let's chat about it. What stood out most from all three of those chats?
I think it just gave a lot of depth and we got to peek behind the curtain of what went into all of these decisions that have gone on this offseason. I mean, in particular, the Carson Wentz trade, what they all thought about the late season collapse, how the Matt Ryan trade went down and kind of what their thinking was on that. I think out of the three, the one that stole the show, obviously, was Jim Irsay. And when you hear his comments, he's still very upset about how the season ended. It just kind of the different conversations that they had, not only amongst themselves, but then amongst the veteran players on this team, too. That really stood out to me that they didn't just make this rash decision that – It kind of brings me to the quote that Chris Ballard always says, the locker room knows. And the locker room wasn't all fully on board with Carson Wentz. So when he's lost the locker room, it's tough to bring him back in the first place. Yeah. And then just everything on top of it. And then just hearing Irsay, Reich, and Ballard's comments this week at the owners' meetings, it really adds a perspective and something that we had kind of thought that was going on behind the scenes. Me and you had talked about it previously on the show, but it just kind of validated it that it wasn't just a rash decision. They really looked into it, and then kind of the aspect of on the player side of things, that there were quite a few players that were on board with this direction as well.
Yeah, and Matt makes a good point. As Ballard would say, the poison is still going through Irsay. I agree.
You can't fault that man for being passionate about his team. That you can never, I mean, say what you will about Jim Irsay, how he can kind of go on long tirades. I mean, look at me, I go on long tirades every week, but you can't fault the man. You can't say he's not passionate and wants this Colts team to win more than anybody.
Yeah, and a few things on that. I say Pat McAfee talked a lot this week, too, about not understanding the backlash of people talking shit about Irsay and his involvement. Jim Irsay grew up around football. I don't have any question about Jim Irsay's football knowledge. The dude, goofy as he may be, knows football. Dude knows football. And I do trust, for whatever reason, I do trust Jim Irsay. And two, you know, there's a guy on Twitter, Mr. Duck, whatever the name of the quarterback is, Duck Ryan currently, formerly Duck Wentz. He was a big Wentz guy, you know, and he was talking about Irsay, you know, like it's bad. It's a bad view when the owner's getting involved in personnel decisions, yada, yada, yada. You know what? How do you bring a guy, like, I don't care what the off the field stuff was. If like you said, in the locker room, if those guys don't want somebody, the locker room knows. You know, you could have backlash from Carson Wentz sticking around. We might not get we might not get Gus Bradley. I mean, we might not get a defensive coordinator. We might not get Yannick Ngakoue, you know, because they think, you know what, they've got a shitty quarterback. I don't see a future. And then not to mention these free agents that re-sign with us or, you know, potential T.Y. Hilton type deals still, which I don't know how important that is to me from that, you know, from a play aspect. But like just the idea if T.Y. Hilton would have drawn a line, said, if Carson's still here, I'm not coming back. We don't know that that's the case. Reggie Wayne hiring. Who knows if he wants to be a part of a team with a Carson Wentz led offense. If he knows about the attitude issue, so that the character stuff affects more than just the football.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, and the thing is too, the Colts brass did not say that Carson Wentz is a bad guy. No. I mean, the Irsay went out of his way to say that he's a good person. He's a great man, a great father. It's just sometimes things don't work out. And in this case, it didn't work out. So why try to fool yourself and think think that it's going to get any better in year two, or try to save face because you're afraid of what the public is going to think because you gave up a first and a third round pick for a guy that was only on your team for one season. You didn't make the playoffs. The Colts didn't do that. And I think I've got this quote from Ursay. And I think it kind of speaks volumes. I mean, he says, I wish Carson well. I think he has a chance to go into a different environment and play great in Washington. It's just for us, it was something we had to move away from as a franchise. It was very obvious. And I think that where he says very obvious, it takes into account the players that weren't on board with Carson Wentz, the players that thought they could go farther with Carson Wentz not in the building. And again, he's not a bad guy, but his leadership capabilities just wasn't what the Colts were looking for. He did seem like he was kind of more along for the ride and more kind of aloof in the locker room. And I want to credit Stephen Holder and Zach Hicks Zach Kiefer for this in their podcast this week. They did say they didn't name the player, but they said there was a high profile player on this team that whose words carry a lot of weight, who talked with Ballard and Ursay after the season about missed opportunities with Carson Wentz and how the offense wasn't seeing things as clearly with Carson Wentz. And when you have that player, and I don't want to speculate who it is. You might have an idea of who it is, just depending on who the offensive captains were.
Do you know what my next question was?
Who is that player?
Andrew, who do you think it is? Yep, for sure.
I'm not going to speculate, but I think I'll give you a hint of who I think it could be. It may be a guy that Carson Wentz overthrew in the Raiders game, or a guy on Hard Knocks that went up to Frank Reich and said, we need to run the ball more. It could be one of those two. But I think that the point is, when you have one of those leaders on your team that goes to the owner and the GM and says that kind of thing, it's almost impossible that you're going to be able to run it back. And again, this wasn't just something with the Jacksonville game. It was something that started to go all throughout the season. It started way ahead of this. And Ursay was talking. He even said Jacksonville, he's like, no disrespect, but they're the worst team in the league. He came out and said that. And he said that they should have taken care of business. And he's 100% correct.
Well, talked about the inconsistency too, and that irritates the shit out of him. Frank talked about that as well.
Make your layups. That's something Ballard said. Make the layups. Don't make the offense harder than it needs to be. Frank can scheme wide receivers open so often, and Carson just would not take the easy throw. Let these athletes that the Colts have acquired and gotten, let them get the ball in their hands and go make a play. Instead, he's looking for that deep ball. He's making the offense harder. I think that's going to be a huge difference in 2022. You're going to see Matt Ryan make those easy throws, get the ball into Michael Pittman Jr. and Nyheim Hines' hands early in the play so they can do those run after the catch plays, those huge game-breaking runs that both those guys can do.
And the last thing on the late season collapse, Carson Wentz trade. And of course, you know, the rest of my family's getting home, so the dogs are going to go nuts here. In the moment, and we were both there, in the moment, we never would have guessed that one missed throw to T.Y. Hilton. Unbelievable, the dogs. May have been the most detrimental bad throw for Carson Wentz's career that he's ever had. I think had he made that throw, whether we score, whether we go down and win or not, I mean, if he hadn't missed that throw so badly, I think we might have a different story right now, because it was just so bad. It was so glaringly obvious. I mean, you can go back and say, but the throw against Cardinals, all you want, he missed that one. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's been kind of my piss and moan about Jimmy G for ever since they lost the Super Bowl. You know, you have to be able to make that throw when it counts the most. And yes, Cardinals game, it counted a lot, but like winning in, you know, you got to make that throw. So it's funny to look back at that throw and think that one throw might have been it.
Right. And I think this is important too. It kind of signals that the Colts, I mean, we kind of know that the Colts did not trust Carson Wentz to go out there and win them a game, especially late in the year. They took the ball out of his hands and put it into Jonathan Taylor's hands. And this comment by Frank Reich, and Frank Reich is the guy that is the biggest, one of the biggest supporters of Carson Wentz out of anybody. He still thinks that he could be a top 10 quarterback in the league potentially. But when he was asked about Matt Ryan and what makes him so excited to have Matt Ryan, Frank Reich right away said, one of the stats that sticks out to me is the 42 career game-winning drives that Matt Ryan has.
Seventh
all time. This was one of the sticking points in my story this week about Matt Ryan and Frank Reich. Carson Wentz had zero game-winning drives, zero four-quarter comebacks for the Colts last year. Frank Reich said time and time again, Matt Ryan has shown that when the game is close and when he has to put the team on his back, he can do that, and you can trust him to do that.
And Andrew, when you're in so many one possession games, Phil Rivers was in this position the year before he was with us. If your stats show zero game winning drives in 8 1 possession games, that's a problem. That's a serious problem.
Mm-hmm. I think the Colts were like 2-5 in one possession games this past year, something to that effect. Not good. It's just not good enough. And that's why the move had to be made. I'm going to give one more quote about the Carson Wentz issue from Ballard. It kind of shows that, kind of what I was getting back to, that they weren't just going to keep Carson Wentz to save face. He said, my job is to look not only at the short term, but also the long-term implications. And I think sometimes you hang on just because you made a move and you don't want the world to see you in a negative viewpoint. But at the end of the day, I'm a steward for the organization. That's the way I look at it. And we got to always do the right thing, no matter how it might make me look. I just thought it was the right move for us short and long term. And credit to Ballard for sucking up his pride, knowing that he made it, that the whole organization, Reich, Ballard, Ursay had to sign off on it too, made a bad move. And rather than sticking with it and trying to hope that it does happen, they realized quickly this isn't going to get any better. They cut bait and they were able to make the best out of the situation and get Matt Ryan, even though he wasn't even available at the time that they decided to trade Wentz.
All right, let's move it along to Matt Ryan. You mentioned Frank Reich talking about that stat. Frank Reich also talked about the leadership aspect, which you and I talked about. We knew from the moment we heard him talk in that press conference, which, don't get me wrong, I've heard Matt Ryan speak before, but I've never sat down and really paid attention to a whole press conference by any means. That man owns a room. And you said, before, like, Wentz was kind of the lame duck in the locker room, the passive whatever. Like, Matt Ryan is not going to be that guy. Matt Ryan is no stranger to change. And I think he's going to step up into this role great. And I think Frank Reich would feel the same way specifically. Let's talk about the Matt Ryan trade and what the three big leaders had to say about that.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, he just feels like the adult in the room. He feels like a guy, a franchise quarterback. I mean, you saw him in the room.
I love that. I love that response. Thank you.
You sit here and you watch that press conference and you think of Matt Ryan it reminds you of when Peyton Manning would give a press conference, when Philip Rivers would give a press conference. These guys are just the quintessential leaders of a locker room, of an NFL franchise, in the face of a franchise. That's what it's supposed to look like. A guy that's mature, a guy that's very serious, and a guy that that is very prepared as well. Stats Matt says to listen to Ryan's mic'd up, and that tells you all you need.
All that made me think of him was yelling at Mohamed Sanu to get effing set.
Yep. Exactly the thing that came to my mind. Same thing with Peyton Manning saying, God damn it, Donald, on YouTube. If you haven't seen that one, go look it up. But yeah, it's just going to be a completely different feel in the locker room, a completely different feel to this offense. Matt Ryan gets it. Something that stood out to me when when listening to Frank Reich talk and kind of hearing just more about how this trade went down, Matt Ryan didn't just meet with the Colts and that's all he said, and that's what kind of convinced him to go to Indianapolis. Matt Ryan, he said that he uses Frank Reich, or him and Peyton Manning are close. He models his game after Peyton Manning. He reached out to Peyton and asked him about the Colts and how his fit would be.
Yeah.
He reached out to Philip Rivers about how he would fit in Frank Reich's offense. He did his homework and he reached out to the appropriate parties that knew this team the best. The two guys that Peyton Manning, obviously the greatest player of all time, franchise history. Philip Rivers, who had great success in 2020.
Yeah, great success.
He did his homework on the Colts. He wanted to make sure that this was going to be the right fit. Again, that speaks to it's a franchise quarterback. It's something that Peyton Manning would do. It's something that Peyton Manning did when he was going from the Colts to the Broncos. So it's just a different feel. You feel like you have a franchise quarterback now that you can trust. And you could just see the relief in Frank Reich when he talked about Matt Ryan, that finally they have a quarterback that they think can be here more than just 1 year, a guy that they don't have to worry about making the correct play, because Matt Ryan will make the correct play. And it's just going to, I think, open up so many more things for this offense. So you can obviously tell that while the Colts probably did get a little lucky, Chris Ballard always says there's got to be a little bit of luck involved with these things.
I don't know. I got distracted for a minute. I don't know. I think Frank talked about too how the collaboration between him and Matt that's to come. Mm-hmm. You know, what he likes, what he thinks of our offense, what he's going to be able to do in our offense. And then we, you know, everybody's talking about how much more involved Nyheim Hines is going to be. Frank talked a lot about, I feel like, the offense with Matt Ryan in it. And even he said something that I said last week, a little bit of Phil Rivers, a little bit of Carson Wentz, somewhere in between there, but he's going to make it his own thing. So, you know, analyst Brandon right on point there. But Frank talked about specifically, how impressed he was with Matt's comments during that Zoom call, when they were going over our offense and plays that we had and what he thought about those things. What kind of things do you think he was talking about?
I think a lot of probably the return of the mesh concepts. Thank God. You know, I'm a big fan of those mesh concepts, getting those guys crossing pass, getting those quick passes out to a guy like Michael Pittman Jr. that while he may be a wide receiver, this man's going to run the hell over you. Nyheim Hines, a guy that you put the ball in his hands, that 4.3 speed, he's just going to make you look like an absolute fool out there. Get the ball into your playmaker's hands, get the ball out of your hands, and let them go to work. I fully expect that to be a big part of this offense. I expect not as much pressure on the offensive line because Matt Ryan is going to be getting the ball out quicker. So that's certainly going to help an offensive line that struggled a little bit due to not only play, but because of injuries. But that's why I think even with Matt Pryor at left tackle, who I'm high on, I have no problem with the Colts having Matt Pryor at left tackle. I think you're going to see them take a step up and become one of the elite offensive lines in the game. Stats Matt says right here, the return of the check down. And I don't think it's going to be as aggressive as it was in 2020 with Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
But you are going to see Matt Ryan process a defense so fast. You're going to see similarities to him or from him to Philip Rivers and even how Peyton Manning dissects a defense at the line of scrimmage. You're going to see more of that as well. And being able to get guys in the right spot, get guys on mismatches. And then if it's not there, you're going to have Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, or even the tight end of Mo Alie-Cox, Kylan Granson, to take those quick checkdowns and still continue to move the offense down the field rather than holding onto the ball too long, trying to spin out of things and either getting sacked for a 10-yard loss or throwing a left-handed interception at the 1-yard line.
I like that Carson Wentz wasn't good at either one. But when he did finally dump it to, you know, a back out of the backfield or a scramble play and got it to a, you know, a guy that made something out of a broken play. It was still never felt intentional. Matt Ryan, like you said,
didn't look easy. He made it right. Much more difficult than it needed to be.
Matt Ryan is going to process things so much more quickly that he's going to check down. He's not going to bail out. He is going to check down, and he's going to know it probably before we do. Carson Wentz, we were going, he's open. You know what I mean? He's open. I'm hoping, you know, Matt Ryan is, you know, I'm not giving Matt Ryan a gold freaking star, you know, until he earns it. But I believe Matt Ryan is going to know when the check down needs to happen. He's going to do it efficiently. And I think that's much more exciting than, you know, oh, well, Carson, you know, threw it left-handed to a guy as he was being tackled.
Right. Well, and the thing is, too, the Colts aren't hiding the fact that they want to get Nyheim Hines the ball more, and they want to get him more involved. Frank Reich even said you could see Nyheim Hines line up a lot more in the slot this year. And I fully support that because, I mean, Nyheim Hines played wide receiver or quite a bit of wide receiver in college as well. He's a good route runner. That way, you always hear them talk about we want to get the best 11 guys on the field.
Yeah, I was going to go that direction too, the best 11 guys thing in regards to the tight end stuff. Carry on, sorry. Well,
Nyheim Hines is one of the best 11 players on that offense. So you have Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. You need to get Nyheim Hines out there split out wider in the slot. And I fully expect that to happen. So love this comment by Stats Matt. Ryan won't sprain both ankles trying to shovel pass while being tackled by Aaron Donald either.
Everybody, Stats Matt's going to be on the draft episode. He doesn't know it yet, but he's coming on.
The Stats Matt, the third host of this show. But he's absolutely correct. It's just, again, I keep getting back to that thought that this is just, he's going to be what a franchise quarterback is supposed to look like. And you, I do like that you said, I'm not giving him a gold star. I'm not anointing Matt Ryan a top five quarterback just because he's joining the Colts. But I think you're not going to see.
No, there's still a big problem for him too. You know, somebody throw the ball to.
You're not going to see the dumb mistakes from the quarterback position that cost the Colts over and over and over again. Now, do I think the Colts are Super Bowl favorites with Matt Ryan again? No.
But Jim does.
I mean, well, Jimmy from the Colts, God bless his heart. But the thing is, too, without those mistakes, the Colts get in the playoffs next year, and anything can happen once you're in the playoffs. You just got to get there, win the division, maybe get a home playoff game as well. And who knows what can happen. The Colts are built to win in December and January, especially with Jonathan Taylor. They just need a quarterback to assist in getting them there as well.
We got to move it along here, Andrew. Hopefully this next segment is short. There's really not any news or anything to update, so, and nothing we haven't talked about before. So what they need to add and the outlook on 2022, what did you hear our leaders talk about in regards to that? Because I didn't take away any specifics except for maybe what Ursay said, and a lot of people are speculating on that. Well, hell, let's just start there. Jim said that, you know, there's a big move possibly coming. We're a front runner for the Honey Badger, from what I've heard lately. Do you think that is who he was referring to, and do you think that's a possibility?
I think that could have been who he's referring to. It now seems like from some of Tyrann Mathieu's tweets that he could be heading to New Orleans. That just kind of came out today. So we'll see on that. I know the Colts are very interested in him. I know the Colts have put in an offer to Jarvis Landry. So that's something to keep an eye on just in case that happens. We'll see what happens. I think what stood out to me, though, is that when talking about the wide receivers again, it doesn't seem like the Colts feel very pressured to add a veteran. I mean, they're surely going to keep in talks with T.Y. Hilton. That's always a possibility. I mean, I know Julio Jones's name was floated out there, but I haven't heard about any serious talks with his camp. But I think the Colts need to be careful, because if they're really expecting if they're going to rely on big jumps from Mike Strawn, Desmond Patman, Ashton Doolin, Paris Campbell, who can't stay healthy, I mean, they could be in trouble, because there's no proven.
I think losing Pascal's huge.
I think losing Pascal's bigger than they think. But the Colts have been just going. And this is from a guy that likes to, that doesn't want to spend big in free agency. Yeah. From me,
got
to
do something.
They got to do something because you can't just go into the season with Michael Pittman Jr. Michael Pittman Jr. goes down week one. Who are you throwing to? Your number Michael one Pittman wide
receiver is a really good wide receiver. He's pretty good wide receiver. He's not yet to me. I mean, he had a coming out party this year. He's still not like a dominant number one. He's not Mike Evans. If he is Mike Evans, he needs a Chris Godwin stat. You know what I mean? And maybe a tight end. But I think we need something.
Yeah, I think Michael Pittman could turn into a bona fide wide number one sure. wide receiver and a Pro yeah. Bowl wide receiver. But like you mentioned, he's not there yet. And like I was saying, if he goes down week one, then your number one wide receiver is Paris Campbell. You can't stay on yeah. the field. And then Paris Campbell goes out, your number one wide receiver is Ashton Doolin. That's a 6-11 season, if you ask me. So the Colts do need to address it. I fully expect still that number 42, their first pick, will be a wide receiver. But you want to see them get more depth. You want to see a T.Y. Hilton come back, possibly a Jarvis Landry, Julio Jones. You need that veteran wide receiver to lead this young room.
I can't believe you're open to Julio Jones. I legitimately can't believe it. It blows my mind.
I'm open.
Because honestly, you know, like you were the number one to say, hey, like, Julio Jones doesn't mean the Tennessee Titans are winning a Super Bowl. Everybody calm the hell down, which right. you're right. And I agreed with you at the time, but like, I never expected to hear you say, and obviously I never expected Matt Ryan to be our quarterback either. I never expected though for you to be like, yeah, Julio Jones, why not? For the right price.
Yeah. Cheap one year, prove it deal because he's prove been it. Injured and he's been,
I don't know what he's going to prove.
prove that he can stay healthy. Same thing that Paris Campbell needs to do in 2022. But they just need that veteran presence, another option.
I would love Jarvis Landry.
Reggie Wayne isn't putting 87 back on and trotting it back out on that field.
What if he did? All right. So do we have anything specific from the Ursay, Ballard, or Reich's mouths in regards to this that you want to mention, aside from what I already brought up?
Not really. I mean, that's kind of what the talks were. Again, the Colts still do have the third most cap space or second or third most cap space in the league. They've got plenty of space to make some moves, and I think that they're continuing to look. And I think at wide receiver, there's not really an option at tight end that I really like, but cornerback, safety, yeah. those are some of the areas I'd like to see him add.
Some people, and by some people I mean somebody I'm not going to mention on the show, said something about Hockenson. Finding a way to trade for Hockenson. I think him and Matt Ryan would be an interesting combo, but you know, that same person also said something about bringing Marlon Mack back and making Nyheim Hines a slot all the time. So all right, let's move along. Some Colts free agency updates. I wish I had a button that said none.
I mean, we kind of just talked about it. Tyrann Mathieu, possibly Jarvis Landry. Who's the one you want to talk about?
I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not. I don't remember when the Tyreek Hill trade happened. That was before our show last week. Or after.
Yes, that was okay. Before.
So Devontae Parker. Poor guy's not going to want to hang around in Miami much longer, right? There you go, Tyler. There's your wide receiver talk for you. Thank you. Devontae Parker, where's he going to land? Is he going to stay in Miami with those weapons? You know, where does he fit into that, if not with us?
So the Dolphins did say this week that they don't plan on trading him, but I mean, teams say that all the time. That doesn't mean anything. Smoke screen season.
Smoke screens.
So I mean, the Colts were definitely interested in Devontae Parker. I think it was last year even or the year before trying to trade for him. So the Colts, there is interest from the Indianapolis Colts.
I feel like Devontae Chris Ballard's come close to like breaking the rules and saying Devontae Parker's name. You know what I mean? Like, I really feel like it's been that close before.
I mean, if they could get him for a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick, kind of similar to what the Titans paid for Robert Woods, I mean, I'd be about it.
Yeah. So, other than that, wide receiver.
Wide receiver. We're getting corner. To the point. we're getting to the point. We're getting to that point where we're going to see fewer and fewer moves, especially by the Colts. We're in the area where they might get another one or two guys, but the majority of the rest of the guys are going to come in the draft or after the draft.
And I saw a comment this week about not needing a safety and needing a corner. We kind of need a safety too. Honestly, I mean, a safety wouldn't hurt. Corner, you know, we picked up that Faison guy. It's looking like we're trusting Isaiah Rodgers with a step up at corner, right? So, I mean, depth, yeah, but I think we could use a big name safety just as badly, you know?
You think about it, there's no safety behind Julian Blackman and Kari Willis right now. George Odom's with San Francisco. Andrew Sandejo's no longer with the team. There's no safety back there. I think Colts will probably look in the draft for that as well. But yeah, safety, especially in a Gus Bradley defense that likes to play three safeties for a lot of the different packages, that's a good spot to look. So again, I think the Colts are fine. As Tyler says, Stephon Gilmore's still out there. Stephon Gilmore is not coming to the Colts. His price is going to be way too high.
Is it?
I think so.
He's like right up there in that last year the Jets let Revis be there. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Gilmore's right there, like, one more year might be too much. But I thought the same about Xavier Rhodes, and we kept him for what, 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about Faison, though, is that Faison got paid around $4 million, and he started 9 games for the Raiders last year in Gus Bradley's defense. So Gus Bradley trusts Brandon Faison to be a starter. And Isaiah Rodgers performed admirably. I was fully on board with Isaiah Rodgers being a starter because I think he's a dog. So right now, I think the Colts are comfortable with Faison being one of the outside starters.
All right, other Colts news. The former Colts left tackle, Tarik Glenn, will be inducted into the Ring of Honor at Lucas Oil Stadium during the 2022 season. Andrew, who got snubbed?
Who got snubbed as far as
snubbed for that spot?
I wouldn't say anybody. I think Tarik Glenn should have been in there a long time ago.
I'm just saying, you can't just put every Super Bowl 41 winner in this, you know, the Ring of Honor.
I mean, if they've got Jim Harbaugh in the Ring of Honor, I think Tarik Glenn is way more deserving than Jim Harbaugh to go in the Ring of Honor. Tarik Glenn was a 3-time Pro Bowler. The dude, I wrote an article about him this week. He had 9 out of his 10 seasons with the Colts, didn't miss a game. Single start. 101 starts in a row at left tackle. Kept Peyton Manning pristine and clean for most of his career. He made 3 straight Pro Bowls to end his career. Tarik Glenn was one of the catalysts and one of the best players on those 2000 Colts teams. So very well deserved and should have probably been put in quite some time ago.
Dude, I literally found out about this yesterday. Hilarious. And I tweeted and I let people roast me about it. You know what I mean? Matt included, shithead.
I saw someone call you a casual.
Somebody called me a casual, and that was funny. Somebody called me a casual a few weeks ago about the UFC. It wasn't funny because what I said was completely accurate and everybody was roasting me about it. This was funny. Colts hire former Broncos head coach and... Wasn't he the head coach of the Bears for
Broncos, Bears, Panthers? You get it.
There we go. As a senior, he's most known for Broncos, but as a senior defensive assistant, what a move. I love this move.
Frank Reich said that they interviewed several high profile names for this position, and it's something that they really wanted to get done. It's something that they don't want John Fox to just come in and learn their scheme. They want John Fox to add to Gus Bradley's scheme. And they talked about constantly evolving. It's kind of like what Press Taylor was for the Colts last year. Press Taylor is now the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars with Doug Peterson. But having John Fox and his experience on board, seeing what Gus Bradley's defense is, and then just adding little tweaks to it because of his experience, some things that he used to run to kind of add an extra layer to this Colts defense, because now you're thinking, okay, Well, at first you think, oh, well, I know what Gus Bradley is going to run. Now there's John Fox in the equation, who's a completely different style than Gus Bradley. So there's going to take bits and pieces of what he runs, put it in there. I think it's going to be exciting to see. I really like this hire, and I think it's really going to help the defense for 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Can't believe I didn't see it coming. I'm embarrassed, to be honest with you. But it was funny. I appreciate the roasting that I received on Twitter. That was a lot of fun. And in good spirits. I appreciate that, guys. With the next pick, Andrew, how was it?
It wasn't my favorite episode, but
it's the first episode of these things.
I thought it was a good setup. I mean, it showed that the Colts are, I mean, like we all know, the Colts are still pissed off about how the season ended. They
don't include those last two games. I mean, they are fired up, pissed off still. They don't allow that in there if they're like, you know what, we're over it.
100%.
Put it behind us.
A quote that did stand out to me from the show is when Chris Ballard said, like I talked to the players and we need to fix this. Like, the time to win is now. He said, we need to find guys with high end traits and guys that are going to help us win football games. And even talking to the scout, like listening to the scouts talk, the scouts said, we've been here for 5 years. Like, it's time to win.
Yeah.
The whole demeanor of this entire organization has changed since Jacksonville. There's no longer we're in the building process. Like, there's an urgency to all this. There's an urgency with the scouts, urgency with Ballard as he makes moves for Matt Ryan and Yannick Ngakoue, and they trade Carson Wentz. There's an urgency from Jim Irsay on down that the mediocrity is no longer acceptable.
Right.
Things need to change. And this Colts team is too talented and has too many good players for them to be missing the playoffs and be on the edge every single year. They need to start dominating the division and dominating their opponents. And the Colts, that's what they're going to try to do and try to get set up for this offseason.
Last thing, you mentioned, and this, I mean, it's not from the episode, but it goes in line with what you just said. Jim Irsay's all chips in comment. He kind of took a step back to explain himself in his interview. You know, we are all like, okay, all chips in. Where are we at? Where's the free agency moves? Where's this and that? It's not just about that. He's saying, like, the players that are here, the staff that are here, are going to be ready to do whatever it takes to win. They're going to compete. They're going to master their craft. Like, it's about an effort thing and a mindset thing. So it's not just about bringing in big names. It's about shifting even further a mindset of winning through, you know, in a winning culture throughout the organization. And I thought he did a really good job of clarifying exactly what he meant as he stood out by that private jet engine that was running.
Right. And I think we kind of, at least you and I, we kind of knew that's what it was. And that's kind of what he was talking about. And I think a lot of other fans kind of misconstrued that into thinking, oh, they're going to go in on every single big name free agent and become the Los Angeles Rams. And that's just not how the Colts do things. I mean, right or wrong, that's just their MO. So, but I do like that Irsay, he just wants guys. And I think he was talking about guys. He said, like, guys like Reggie Wayne, guys like Peyton Manning, guys that from the past have emulated this. And he mentioned even the greats like Ray Lewis, Walter Payton, Ronnie Lott. He said, there's not many of those, but you can, like, talent wise, there's not many of those, but you can have the same mindset as those guys. And I think that's important. And that's what the Colts are going to be out there looking for. They're going to be very critical on these guys. They're going to bet on the high end traits and the high end talent. And they're really going to focus in on guys who love football and will do whatever it takes. Dogs like the Isaiah Rodgers that I was talking about, guys that will work their ass off every day to get the Colts to a Super Bowl.
Hey, don't forget, in our bio, in the about of this episode, the description, there you go, there's the word, the Indie Draft Guide, brought to you by the Horseshoe Huddle. Get $1 off using promo code DRAFT to get all you need to know about the Indie Draft. And what the Colts should be and who they might be and maybe even probably will be targeting in this year's draft, 2022. Okay. NFL free agency. Andrew, we got some moves. We got some things to talk about. Let's start it out. Bears trade quarterbacks, basically, with the Saints and acquire quarterback Trevor Siemian. And the Saints get quarterback Andy Dalton. So they kind of do a little flip-flop of the backup quarterbacks there. Any comment on those?
It's probably the biggest news of the entire free agent cycle right here. No, not really. I mean, Andy Dalton's going to back up Jameis Winston. Trevor Siemian will back up Justin Fields.
Now I'm looking at the biggest news. Chiefs get running back Ronald Jones, formerly of the Bucks. Here's the big one. Chiefs sign wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling from the Packers. That apparently is their cheap alternative to Mr. Tyreek Hill.
So do you, if you're the Chiefs, do you feel confident in your top three receivers being obviously Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Yes.
Obviously their wide receivers are taking the cake for longest hyphenated last names in the league.
Did you see the meme? It was like the guy that used to stitch in Hill and he has to stitch in Juju or Schuster and Valdez Scantling now.
Sucks for him.
Jersey guy. Oh, I was crying.
I mean, MVS was a wide receiver the Colts had quite a bit of interest in, but as soon as they traded Hill, I think he had his mind made up that he was going to go to the Chiefs, and they paid him fairly well. I think it's 3 years, $30 million.
Yeah, I can't really blame him. You know, they're going to win Super Bowls. We're still flirting with the playoffs, apparently. Jaguars get defensive end Arden Key from the 49ers. That guy any good?
He had a breakout season last year. He's kind of been up and down. He
wasn't very breakout. I didn't hear about it.
He's kind of like a little bit better version of Kamoko Touré, in my opinion. But the Jaguars' free agency spending spree just continues.
I lied. Here's the big one. Jets signed kicker Greg Zuerlein from the Cowboys. They want to score even fewer points this year.
I guess so.
Patriots get safety Jabril Peppers. He still plays football. Giants. The Rams get linebacker Bobby Wagner. I swear I just saw JJ tweeting about Bobby today still. From the Seahawks.
He signed this evening. It's a 5-year deal. $50 million can be worth up to $65. Do you think of the three levels of that defense? You got Aaron Donald on the D line, Bobby Wagner leading the linebacker core, and then you got Jalen Ramsey roaming the secondary. Rams got better. For sure. Rams continue.
Hey, since we've got Tyler on the show right now and he's listening, I don't think he listened last week. What was it you said about Tua last week after he got Hill and all these weapons?
No excuses. There's no more. Like, Tua cannot hide.
No more hiding is what you said.
Yeah. No more hiding for Tua Tagovailoa. You're frozen. Can you see
me? Can't hide anymore is what you said.
Can you see me now?
Yeah, no, I can't. It just fast forwarded through everything you said. It was like,
but yeah, no more hiding for Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, you get it.
He's got to prove it this year.
Absolutely. And Andrew, news around the league. Oh, I skipped some stuff, huh? Resignings. Eagles re-sign running back Boston Scott and defensive end Derek Barnett. Saints re-sign wide receiver Traquan Smith, and the Vikings re-sign cornerback Patrick Peters. Okay.
Patrick Peterson. I just added the O-N Peterson on the end. So Patrick Peterson does go back to the Minnesota Vikings. Traquan Smith was a guy that I thought would be a really good fit for the Colts, and the Colts could get him cheap, but he ends up going back to the Saints.
Yep. Tyler says, okay, excuses. I agree. Hiding is just disrespectful. Funny. All right, news around the league. Biggest news of the week, probably, on all fronts. Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians is retiring from coaching and moving to the Bucs front office. Defensive coordinator Todd Bowles has been picked as Arians' replacement.
I mean, as far as the replacement, I think
a lot of retiring going on in that organization.
There is, and who know? I mean, retiring from coaching, but he's still not retired. Brady retires, but then he unretires. But as far as the replacement, I think Todd Bowles, great pick. because I thought Todd Bowles got the raw end of the deal with the New York Jets. Thought he was a really good defensive mind and a pretty good coach, and they just didn't give him anything to work with. So now he actually has things to work with. He's got Brady, he's got a great offense. The defense for the Bucks is outstanding. So yeah, I like the move. As far as if you're going to replace a guy like BA, Todd Bowles is a good choice.
NFL owners, finally, Andrew loves this change. NFL owners agree to change overtime rules for the postseason only, where both teams are now guaranteed at least one possession, a proposal brought forth by the Colts and the Eagles. Ah!
I mean, I'm still a guy that says, hey, stop them. Defense still matters, but
defense is so hard. It's so hard to play good defense at that point in the game.
I'm over it.
It's too hard.
I'm over it. It doesn't bother me too much.
The problem is, if the coin flipped the other way, then the other team has to play the defense. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, it's not fair. It's not fair in a playoff in a one and done situation. It's not. So now it's fixed. Thank God. Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins retires after 13 seasons. It was about time.
Yeah, he was starting to decline.
Are you frozen again?
Am I frozen?
This broke ass internet this guy's got.
Listen, I live out in Harlan, Indiana. There, it's a miracle that I have internet out here. But I mean Michael Jenkins, I think it was time. Good career. Malcolm Jenkins, you get it.
All right. Good career, Andrew says. Let's move along. Ravens have signed head coach John Harbaugh to a 3-year extension through 2025. I was actually thinking about this today. I didn't even see the extension, and I was just thinking about, like, John Harbaugh, Pete Carroll at this point, now that Russ is gone, Bill, obviously. There's just certain coaches out there that are going to be allowed to retire as the head coach of the organization. John Harbaugh's not going anywhere. Yeah, I was specifically thinking about him today, though, and I thought that's really funny.
Incredible coach. John Harbaugh, yeah, Super Bowl winning coach. He gets the most out of his players. He always produces winning seasons. But yeah, you mentioned it. Belichick, Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. I mean, those guys are the cream of the crop when it comes to head coaches in the league.
Lamar's situation is interesting. Is this year that he needs to sign his extension? Is he going to hit the open market next year? What's going on there?
I mean, I don't think he'll hit the open market. If he doesn't sign him, they're going to franchise tag him. I mean, he could bet on himself.
Never mind. Stupid question. You absolutely can. But not often you see a starting quarterback get franchise tag.
Yeah, you could franchise tag him twice, and he might bet on himself. If he doesn't like the extension that he's getting, he very well could do that. We'll see. It is kind of weird. I'm not sure what exactly the offer is, but I'm sure he's looking for Patrick Mahomes type money.
Okay. Ravens, the Bills have reached an agreement between New York State and Erie County for a $1.4 billion, not million, billion new stadium in Orchard Park. Is it enclosed?
It is not enclosed.
Whoa.
the designs that I saw, it wasn't enclosed. Now it does have like a canopy kind of thing where it's almost like 80% of it is covered. Kind of like how that stadium, and I think it's Tottenham over in London is. Yeah. But I would think if you're in Buffalo and you're getting a new stadium, when you have Josh Allen, a guy that can throw it a mile, give that man a dome. Give him a dome.
Yeah. But I don't understand. It's just like the personality of that team, you know? When you go to Buffalo, you know you're in December, you're in for a shit day, and they don't care. You know what I mean? The fans don't give a shit. I can't wait to talk to Ben about this.
They certainly cared when Jonathan Taylor ran for almost 200 yards and 5 TDs on him on a really crappy day in November. Yep. So, hey, maybe get a dome and instead use it for Josh Allen to throw it deep to Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and that those weapons that he has, instead of thinking you're a tough team because Jonathan Taylor is going to come in there and kick your ass.
State of New York's going to pay $600 million to that, NFL, a.k.a. the taxpayers. And the NFL and the Bills contribute $550 million. Erie County and more taxpayers contribute $250 million. Hilarious. NFL owners have unanimously passed the proposal.
Which, yeah, because I think, I mean, the Buffalo Bills stadium now is hot garbage. So,
yeah,
I mean, if the Bills team that I still need to go visit one of the away games. So maybe when that new stadium's built, we might have to go check it out.
Hey, I know a guy. I mean, he has tickets all the time. He's like, yeah, I'm going to Buffalo this weekend.
Well, let's do it.
Nope. He great guy. You got to meet this guy. 2023 NFL draft will take place in Kansas City, while the 2024 draft will take place in Detroit. Why? Great. Okay.
Here's something I didn't put in. The 2023 NFL Combine will be staying in Indianapolis. So that's
really awesome. Let's go. All right. And the Lions will be featured on this year's training camp edition of the HBO Hard Knocks. Early predictions for in season.
That's a good one. I'm going to go. It's got to be a team that's going to be a fringe playoff. Do they do the Browns?
No, they just did the Browns a couple years ago for preseason Hard Knocks.
But Deshaun Watson. I don't think they want that. I don't know if they'd want that.
Vikings,
Broncos with Russell Wilson.
Ooh, yeah, there we go. Like that.
Raiders, Raiders with Derek Carr, or are they still
no,
doing
just
it?
Did
it
can't Raiders be a few years ago.
It can't be a new coach. Say so Josh McDaniels know. Is a new
for
coach.
The in season. I don't know for the in season.
I mean, I'd like the Broncos. I'd like to
Broncos
see the Broncos
be sick. Patriots.
Bill's not allowing that. Bill's not allowing
do
that.
Live. Do live. All right. In season, Titans or Raiders? Get out. No Raiders, so I guess Titans. Ooh, I wouldn't mind Vrabes. Patriots would be awesome. That's it. Go home. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That's what they say. Go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And, of course, again, go check out that indie draft guide put together by Andrew Moore, Jake Arthur, Zach Hicks, and Josh Carney. Call him Josh Clowney. But when did he get a check mark? Has he had the check mark?
Yeah, our boy Josh has always been verified.
How long has Josh had the verified? I need verified. Josh, if you're watching... I don't want a single penny of this draft guide nonsense. I just want to be verified on Twitter. Make it happen.
I still need to get verified myself.
Big
J journalist over here.
I don't think they want me verified. Anyway. No, not the Commanders, Matt. Shut up. We don't want two seasons of Carson Wentz. Anything else, Andrew?
Enjoy draft season's coming up, so we're going to be diving headfirst into draft content. Let's see if we can. Hey, people in the chat, people in the comments, let's see if we can get Brandon to watch some film this year on some prospects.
Yeah, send me the tool or whatever. I'll watch some film for you, if freaking homo.
Go Colts.
Go Colts.
Let this moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.